Blog Talk Radio.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love. We love, no, not just for some, but for everyone.
Greetings, lovelies. Do you know what time it is? Yes, it is time to love. And I am Lydia, your host, your guiding light of love, guiding you to loving yourself. Yes. That's what I do each week, and I'm glad that you're with me. I want to know, what was your week like? Was it good, bad, hectic, great, inspiring? Well, the week for me was full of creating and learning and with some fun mixed in. Really, really, I like those fun moments, especially when I'm so busy with my pottery. But I have an iPad. So when I'm in my studio, in case you don't know, in case you've never listened before, I'm a potter and I'm getting ready for a big sale. So I've been in my studio late at night and I do have an iPad so I can listen to music or inspirational talks. I can watch or listen to a movie. I don't watch it so much, but I listen to it and I might glance at it a little bit and or a TV show. In fact, now that How I Met Your Mother is over, I've started to actually watch it on Amazon. I never really wanted to get into it before, but it is really, it's fun to listen to it now. I feel like the show is, it's a little bit entertaining, but it is also, what I really like about it, it's about love. Yeah, go figure, I'd like that. It's romantic love and friend love, and there's some funny moments, and I like the way it shows the growth of the characters, and they're always growing in loving and understanding themselves and each other. There's one character, Barney, you know, he's like the entertainment value, and, you know, he's into sexual love, or thinks he is, and anyway, I've been really enjoying that show. But I also watched a very enlightening movie. It's called The Shift. And I've wanted to see this movie ever since I was energized and turned on by Dr. Dyer's book, Wishes Fulfilled. In his book, which I listen to in my studio also, I have the CDs of it, he talks about his movie, The Shift. So I wanted to see it since, I think, May of last year, and I finally did. I loved it. It was extremely inspiring, and it got me on a whole nother level of loving myself and everyone else. And it's in the movie, Dr. Dyer talks about when we make the shift, we go from ego, which he has a great acronym for ego. It's edge God out. To a more fulfilling life, you know, how we go from wanting material things to wanting to be of service. And I spent many hours in the studio this week, and I really love creating in the wee hours of the morning. It's just a quiet time for me. And now I'm glazing my pots, kiln, and I have to surrender the outcome. I have to let go of it. The kind of firing I do is called reduction firing. It's in a big, huge gas kiln. In fact, the one I'm going to load up on Monday is, it's about six times your refrigerator, the size of your refrigerator. And I can build up the shelving and put in pots according to the shelves. And you want a very even heat, so you have to really watch it. It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. But then I shut the door and I have to let go of the outcome because I am not in control. And so I realized last night as I was glazing that this was what I was going to talk about today. No catchy title or anything, just letting go. Letting go or surrender can be really scary. You know, we like to control things. Okay, all right, I'll say it. I like to control things. I think most people do. One thing that happens when we make the shift is that we surrender, and we surrender the outcome because we're not trying to hold on so tightly. We're not trying to hold on to the material things in our life. You know, the first part of our life is all about acquiring, maybe acquiring the perfect job, acquiring the perfect everything, you know, the perfect children. You know, we're just, you know, amassing a bunch of stuff and things and relationships. But I believe when we make the shift, and this is what Dr. Dyer talks about, we start letting go. We let go because we trust the universe and its plan for us. I'm in that place, and I have been in that place for quite a while now. And I really think there was a big shift for me. There was a starting of a shift, but the big shift for me came about when my mother passed.
Yes. Can I break in for a quick minute?
You sure can.
You have a caller, I guess, who would like to talk, but it's going to have to go shortly. Would you be able to bring them on real quickly?
I sure will. Is it the 780?
Yeah, he says his name is Stinky Pete.
Stinky Pete. Hey, Stinky Pete. Hey, Stinky Pete.
Hey, your fat ass ever shit onto a plate? Fucking bitch.
What?
Oh, so much for Stinky Pete. Sorry.
Yeah, he can actually leave the building. Okay, and I do have a internet caller, but I'm thinking they just want to listen. Maybe if they go to the chat room, maybe they could tell Nina if they want to talk or not. But anyway.
Yeah, he did tell us in the chat room, so sorry about that. But anyway, moving on. You were talking about your mom when she passed away.
Yeah, when my mom passed away, I let go of my job, and I let go of trying to control things. And since then, I've been on a path. It's how this radio show came to me and, you know, how the idea for living a more fulfilled life. I really think when you let go, you have a freedom. And if you've seen my picture for my show, Time to Love, it's me skydiving. And talk about letting go. Oh, my goodness. Now, of course, there's a cute guy strapped to my back who was probably more in control than I was. But really and truly, you have that feeling of letting go. And I just love it. I'm very, very, I'm more fulfilled letting go. And it's funny, from someone that really held on, it's just very freeing. You know, if you are having problems letting go, I'd love for you to call. The guy who was, on hold, he can stay there. Hopefully he'll learn something. And I do want to say that, you know, we're all on our path. We're all on different areas of our path. And, you know, he is too. So, Stinky Pete, I know if you're listening, I want you to know that I love you. But anybody else? Call in to 646-727-2914. I'd be glad to talk with you. And let's see here. What else was I talking about? Okay, so if you like to...
No, I know when you had brought up the movie The Shift, and and so that was, you know, I was just writing how much I absolutely loved that movie. And,
yes, and
yeah,
you're going to, on Filmcology, which is also on the Essence of Success Radio Network, Brenda is going to do the shift, right? Have you scheduled that
yet?
Yeah,
probably going to be in May. We already have three movies on the lineup for now, or four, so, yeah, I think it'll be the second week of May, but, yeah, I don't give everyone time to to watch it and maybe join us there, talk about it further, what you don't talk about now.
Yeah, well, you have different people listening, but I could talk about it all the time. In fact, today I got a phone call from a woman who actually, she had to let go of her brother. Her brother passed, and she had to let go. So we had a really good talk about that. She's good with it. He was very, very ill, and it was definitely his time. So, but it's never easy, you know. It's never easy. We hold on. Some of us hold on until our fingers are bloody, and but that doesn't feel good either. You know, holding on to, let's say, a job or a relationship, you know, that's, it's painful. You know, if you let go, it might change, it might flourish, it might go away, but it's a lot easier than holding on. Definitely.
Yeah. Letting go is, I think, it's a natural process that I think that all of society needs to start accepting, because I don't like to say that nothing lasts forever. It's just that everything has its time, and everything also in that time, or however you want to look at it, transitions are also natural. Change is necessary for things to grow. The foods we eat that are made, well, all the foods we eat have to go through some kind of process and change. And if we didn't change, we'd all still be little zygotes in our mom's belly, or we'd never get older than the age 3 or 4. And although it seems like those were magical times, they were magical times for that time. So letting go is basically allowing things to naturally progress, I believe.
Well, I do too. I really do too. And I feel that, you know, what we're learning, you know, with people that have worked for years in the same job and then they're called in and they're let go. What do you do with that? You know, yes, you can mourn it. You can go into a deep depression. You can, you know, you have choices of a number of different reactions. But to realize that this may be your path, that there's something new out there, that, you know, there's something in you that needs to be done. And maybe it's the time, it's the perfect time for you to find out what it is, to be led to what it is. I don't know what I'm here to do. There's a part of me that really wants to speak to many, many people and, you know, do what I do on this show, talk about loving and loving yourself utmost. But I don't know how that's going to look. In my life, I've always loved and tried to teach others to love themselves. So, and I'm good with that. You know, I feel like I have made an impact on many lives, and that is very fulfilling for me. And if I'm led to talk to hundreds of people, whatever, that's great too. I'm certainly enjoying myself. And that's something that I learned about letting go. There's a freedom to it. And in the freedom, you can truly be who you are. You can learn to be with yourself more and be who you are. I'm learning that. I'm not telling you I'm there yet. I never do. I'm learning just like you all about loving myself and learning so many things on this path. Another cool thing that happened today. So I got a phone call from the woman who I took a pottery class, who had just lost her brother. And she said something that I am going to be talking about again, and that is opening her heart, that she feels he was so heartfelt. He was. She is one of 10 children. She's number 5, and her brother was number 6. And she said he, of all the children, had the biggest heart. And, you know, they all learned so much from him. And what she is learning from him even though he's passed on, is how to open her heart. And next week, I'm not sure if I'm going to do my radio show yet or not, because I have a lot go on my plate on next Saturday. But if I talk about anything, it's about something that I'll be doing later that evening from 6 to 11. I'm going to be doing an opening the heart seminar with Mastin Kipp. If you don't know who Mastin Kipp is, he is the founder of The Daily Love, and in The Daily Love, he gives you messages. He writes a blog about his journey about loving himself more. And it's Kundalini yoga and opening the heart and dancing, which, you know. So I've actually been working really hard, but I'm scheduling time in for fun. In fact, last week I also did a massage, a hot stone massage, for an hour and a half. Oh my goodness gracious, it was so nice. I'll tell you, to be, you know, rubbed and worked that way it was orgasmic without the sex. You know, it was absolutely what my muscles needed. I told her to work on my shoulders and my hands, and we did a peppermint scrub on my feet, and it was just absolutely amazing. So even along the journey, when you're working hard, when you're doing a lot, take time out for some fun. I also that day, it was a spa day for a couple women friends. It's my friend's birthday, Nada. Happy birthday, Nada. And we got together and celebrated and had the massages or mani-pedis, whatever we all did. And it was very, very life-affirming. It was wonderful to be with girlfriends and also to get that massage. But, okay, I veered off. I will do that. The second thing that happened to me.
I was going to say that, you know, if I was getting a nice massage on the bottom of my feet, then that person's hands would have been cut to shreds from the jagged shards that are the bottom of my feet.
I don't think so, but mine were a little jagged. Mine were a little jagged, but she did the scrub on it, and they're nice and soft now. And then later
I think I need a bandsaw for that stuff down there.
My mother was really big on soaking her feet with Epsom salts. Try it. She got rid of some gnarly stuff doing that.
Nina says that her feet are as smooth as a baby's butt.
Oh, I want to kiss those little babies.
I had to get some diapers for her, huh? To put on those dogs of hers that are smooth as a baby's butt. But anyway, let's get back to some wonderful esoteric information. I apologize, folks. I have my personality. It's always right.
I'm not sure that it's esoteric, but or any information. But the second great thing that happened to me today is that a friend called me that I hadn't talked to in probably 42 years. 42 years. And we connect. He called right before the radio show, so we didn't have a lot of time to talk, but we caught up really quick about what we're both doing, and he sounded great. Phil, if you're listening, I love you, buddy. It really did my heart well. Now, Phil is the person who got me to be irreverent about just about everything and in life, and he had he probably still has a great sense of humor, and I grew up with him, knew him in grade school, although we went to different schools, but I was in high school with him. And he was a troublemaker, but he has three children. You know, they're all older now, but it was just amazing to hear adult Phil. You know, I just knew him. My thoughts of him was when, you know, we were 19 years old living in California together. We were housemates together. Me and him and Randy,
nice to reconnect.
It really is. It really is, and he's successful and happy and gonna wind down. How amazing is that? He's gonna start. He's gonna sell his company, and yeah, I'm very proud of him. Phil, if you're listening, I love you, dude. And can't wait to talk again and catch up more. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, so we're starting another relationship. He told me to call him, and I am going to call him because I want to find out more what he's doing. And so he's, you know, we're starting up a relationship, but sometimes you have to let go of relationships. And I've had to let go of a few relationships, and that's okay. It was painful at the time, but I learned so much in the letting go process. It really taught me a lot, and it taught me basically it's not as scary as we think. Yeah, see your dog. She I don't know which one it is, but she's like saying, yeah, letting go, letting go. I like to let go and bark a whole lot. Yeah. She put me on mute. Yeah. But that's, you know, Pepper, maybe in agreement, letting go is good. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of letting go. And, you know, some people just remember the pain and they don't remember the freedom. But if you want to call, it's area code 646-727-2914. We can talk about letting go, maybe your experiences, maybe you have a comment, maybe you have a question. It's not that I know everything. Believe me, I don't. But between, you know, Brenda and myself and there's Nina in the chat room, maybe we can give you some guidance. You never know.
Melody's popped into the chat room as well as a couple other guests. But I was going to ask quickly, do you consider letting go and not being attached to the outcome as the same thing? Sounds like it. It sounds like a thing, but do you consider it the same thing?
I do, because what happens when you let go, then you can't be attached to the outcome. You know, and for me, you know, maybe I'm just lucky. I don't think that's true at all. But I feel that when I'm not attached to the outcome, I get a better outcome. For instance, and I've talked about this before, but for instance, meeting my husband. You know, I've talked about this before, but I'm not sure that you've heard. When I met my husband, I had a list of the qualities that I wanted in a person, but I did not put age or looks. I didn't put the physical characteristics. Some people do. I have a friend who always says, I want him to have hair, you know, which I think is hilarious. It says maybe she'll get a guy with a real hairy back. He'll be bald on top with a really hairy back. You never know. But anyway, I didn't put that, and I wasn't attached to that, but I wanted qualities. I wanted him to be good with children, have a great sense of humor, all these type of qualities. And I got that package, and believe me, not being attached to how he looked or his age has really paid off, because he is good looking, and he's also 9 years younger than me, and I believe that keeps me young. I feel
woo-hoo.
About his yeah, woohoo. Hi, Nina. You got something to say
Hi,
about letting go? You got
yes,
something
I do.
To say about
As you and Brenda both know, I just had to let go of a lot of anger, upset, and hurt not too long ago, because of some horrific deed that was done to me and all the children I look after. I did cry for 2 days. I'm not going to lie about that. And it was super duper hard. But in the end, I had to let go and basically forgive him, because what else can I do? What's done is done. So having said that, it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my whole life. But it's done now. It's over with, and life goes on. Not to say that I don't still love all those kids, because I love them with all my heart, and he can't take that away from me.
Right. No, he can't. No, he can't. And, you know, they do say about forgiveness, they say it's really not for the person, it's for yourself. You
exactly.
know, when you don't forgive, when you are carrying that hate and that anger around, the only person it truly hurts is yourself. Doesn't hurt the other person.
No, he wouldn't have cared in the least how hurt I was or anything else.
Well,
so
and
it
he
was
might
just
be,
easier.
He might thrive on that stuff.
Exactly, and I didn't want to give him the satisfaction. But anyways, I just want to put a big shout-out because my little Sienna, it's her 9th birthday today, and this is the first time I have not celebrated a birthday with her. So happy birthday, Sienna. I love you dearly, and I'm going back on mute. Love you guys.
Love you, too. Love you, too, Nina. And I do want to say I know how hard it was for Nina to let go and to forgive. And you know what? I know also, if you guys don't know, Nina and Brenda and I have a show on Monday nights, LNB, Passage to Empowerment. And, you know, it kind of, with Brenda has a show called BYO Brilliance and the LNB, Passage to Empowerment, and Time to Love, we're all trying to uplift. We want to uplift you all and ourselves in the process. You know, what we say is not because we've learned it and we know it and now we're going to be this amazing teacher. We say it week after week, different things, but all the same message. It's all about love, and most of it is about loving yourself. You know, when you let go, frees you to love yourself more. I'm also going to talk about something that is very hard to let go of, and that is your children. Yeah, letting go of your children, letting go of how they look or how they act or anything, the life choices that they make. And that has been a real lesson to me. And, you know, it's not that I was a super controlling parent, but I didn't quite let go. I had one child, so he got all of my focus, which he might even say that wasn't such a good thing. But and I love him and loved him and will always love him absolutely dearly. And letting go doesn't mean you stop loving. But I'm not trying to control him. He is an adult, and he makes his own choices. And he is such a loving human being and such a great soul. And I'm here now to love and support him, you know, in his choices. That's what I want to do. And actually, Dr. Dyer, he doesn't get into a lot, but in the movie there is a woman who is a mom, and she has two small children. And, you know, sometimes she's yelling at them and trying to control them. And Dr. Dyer, you know, they actually squirt him in the face with a squirt gun in the movie. And he's like, it's just water. It's soft. It's okay. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, and probably feeling mortified that her children would be children and squirt somebody. And, you know, I love that. I loved it because I could really feel how she, like, you know, that she was mortified that, you know, her children were running around having the time of their lives and they squirt this adult person and, you know, like, oh, like that's a reflection on her. It's not. Kids are going to be kids. They're going to play and have fun and they know it's water and it doesn't hurt. And so, yeah, some water might get on you, but it dries. It's fine. And that's what he says. And then he talks to her about a little bit. He says something about a parenting. He has 8 children. He talks about letting go of what did he say, Brenda?
What part of letting go? Which part are you talking about?
I'm talking about when he gets squirted in the face with the water, and he says to the mom, don't worry about it. But then he talks to her about the kind of parenting. I forgot the word for it, but just a more letting go.
Well, he was saying the exact word. At the moment it's not right fresh in my head, but it's just when he says just allow them to be, I mean, basically is what he's saying. And, you know, mm-hmm. they do okay when they're allowed to be themselves, as essentially is what he was saying. And so she, you know, was getting ready to the whole thing about it's time for them to eat their lunch, and they said they didn't want to eat yet. And she was getting ready to fall back into her regular thing of, you know, you need to get over here now, And Dr. Dyer just looked at her, and she said, okay. And they went on and played, and then when they were ready, they came over and they ate. Which,
right.
You know, is one of those things that parents, I mean, that's one of the first things they try to do with manipulation with their children is when to eat. And many parents, when their babies are born, are told, you put them on an eating schedule, this and this and that. I know I'm not a physical mom now, but quite honestly, and I've had my troubles with that with my dogs, if you can, you know, get lead to that kind of thing. But the reality is they sort of balance out on their own. And it's natural for children to sort of balance their eating in the very beginning, even when they're breastfeeding, which every mother should do, and I said should, and I hate that word. But when I did a whole research paper on it, and this is why I'm going to even go here, because it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. When children are breastfeeding, when they first start out, there's, of course, the surfactant that comes out that actually helps to inflate. The first time that they actually hit mom's tit, they are getting in that first surfactant. It's a different kind of milk. And that forces a baby's lungs to stay open. It has this sort of strange surface tension. Now they actually make it a synthetic amount of it because babies who didn't have that first drink, it would harm them, their breathing and their lungs and everything. So that first happens. Then the milk is quite fatty because babies need a whole lot of energy and they need that sort of protective fat. Well, as babies continue to breastfeed, as they're growing, their body starts to determine how much they actually need. And so their bodies will actually sort of adjust, and then mom's milk actually helps to adjust. It's a strange symbiotic thing that takes place, but this is nature, and this is not what humans are choosing to happen. This is happening at sort of a cellular DNA level. And they found that the longer that a baby nurses, that their body gets more self-regulatory on the amount of calories and percentage of calories that it actually needs. And so those babies that are allowed to nurse, you know, without our intervention of when they need to nurse or eat or whatever, they actually have less levels of obesity and problems with eating because they're allowing their body, the vessel, the meat suit, to make a determination instead of their head. Well, it's 3 o'clock, so it's time for you to eat whether you're hungry or not. And what that teaches your children is eating has nothing to do with my actual fuel needs. It has to do with convenience. And can you make the jump with me, folks? What do we call fast food? Convenient foods. Convenience foods. It's not foods for our fuel and for our betterment. So, Dr. Dyer was trying to teach an age-old secret or knowledge that our bodies know at the cellular level, that it's not about what we force or want other people to do. It's about letting them be.
Right.
Did that help?
Definitely. Yeah, it does. And I don't remember his words, but that's a great opportunity to tell you to watch the movie. Watch the movie and call Filmcology and discuss it because there's a lot of wisdom in it. And in it, he talks about the shift that we make. You know, in the beginning of our lives, it's all about pretty much men and women have different needs and wants, but, you know, it's more about getting material things. Men have it even harder. They want to have a good career and they want to have the home, everything. And so they, you know, they've got their career and they work really hard. But, you know, what happens when you've worked at a place for many, many years and all of a sudden you're let go? In this economy, in this world today, you know, when I was growing up, I remember most of the dads that I knew worked at a job until they retired. And then they got a watch and, you know, and a retirement party, and that was the end of it. They rewarded loyalty. Well, it doesn't happen so much now, and especially in the corporate world. And so they let them go. And what happens? Men particularly have a hard time because they hold career to be one of the top things in their lives. But when you make the shift, it goes to things like having more fulfillment. You know, what do you want to give instead of get? And that's another part, the whole part of this, being of service. It's an amazing part. I do have a caller from, it's 773. Hi, caller. Were you just listening or do you want to talk?
Oh, are you talking to me? I would like to talk, yes.
Yes. Who's this?
Oh, am I on?
You are on. I don't
okay,
have a screen.
It's not that creep that called you before in the beginning of the show.
Thanks.
I'm from Chicago. I grew up with you. It's Jack. And I just wanted to touch on this. How are you? I know you're doing great. You're doing much better than I am. God bless you for it, too. But I just wanted to, you know, this whole theme of letting go, I don't know what it is about why I have such a hard time. Is it a man thing? Are the men and women different about this kind of stuff? Or is it just a concept that's just entered our culture in the last 20 or 30 years? And, you know, you're talking about the old days of our parents that would start the job when they were 18 and stay there till they were 65 and get the watch and the party and goodbye, you know. The world, good, bad, or indifferent, it's different, you know. For me, this week, I've had a horrible week, and I really, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were the worst. I lost everything I had had internally and spiritually and psychologically, which is I haven't done that in, like, decades because I've been on various paths myself, you know. And the funny thing was I realize now that I'm in the middle of Alger's level. It's about a lawsuit that was going south fast, and I have invested everything I have for the last 3.5 years in this lawsuit. And it went south on Monday, Tuesday, and I couldn't find another attorney to bring it. And I thought, you know, this is about letting go. Forget, you know, and I borrowed money against this, too. You know, it's not funny, but I got a laugher because there's nowhere else to go with it. But it's funny because I was preparing for the worst, you know, and I talked to another attorney who referred me to another attorney, and yesterday I got in my email, saw I got an email from him. I thought, uh-oh, this is it. When do you stop? And I thought, if he says no, he's not taking this on like the other, last 10 I've talked to, I have to, like, just walk away because this is so toxic. It's killing me, you know. Well, I opened an email, and the email says I have pictures involved of this. And he says, send me your pictures and come on down and see me Monday. You know, he didn't say yes, but he wants to talk to me. So it's like, wow. Planning for the worst outcome imaginable. I mean, I got myself envisioned on the street with as a bag person, you know. And then, boom, boy, did that blow my rotten trip, you know. And it's all about letting go of outcomes, you know. You can only do so much. You can only do the footwork, you know. But I got myself in deep, too deep, and I didn't realize it until, of course, the old saying that hindsight is always 20/20, you know.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But you are really on to something really, really big here. And I have to admit one more thing here, and then I'll shut up. There's part of me, and this goes on wherever the self is involved, you know, when you're talking about yourself and how to love yourself or whatever, or how to recover from something or, you know, whatever. There's part of me that really kicks up, like, oh, my God, what a narcissistic bag of doo-doo that is, you know. And, and I know on another level that that's absolutely wrong. But, I mean, when we were growing up, the idea of taking care of yourself never, if it was mentioned, I never heard it. you know? So yeah. I started hearing about this when I was about 35 or 40, you know, so it was all new. And I've been messing with this for quite some time on various levels, and it's really hard to get a grasp on to where it becomes second nature, like breathing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it, you know. But, I mean, I was thinking about you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I'm thinking, my God, thank God Lydia is seeing me now. She'd run, you know.
Jack, it's always great to see you, and I have several things to tell you about.
Yes.
First of all, you are absolutely right. It is very different for men and women to go through the shift and to go through this letting go process because, like I said before, men are very tied to their career. And we grew up in an age where acquiring all kinds of stuff, you know, the big house, the fancy car, all of that was the end-all, be-all. That's why we were here on Earth, to do that. And when you go through the shift and changing and learning to, you know, I am so happy for you. I'm thrilled that you have hit rock bottom because really and truly I'm serious. The only place from here, from rock bottom, is up, okay? Hold on to that. Now, a lot of times people think that, you know, we're fooling ourselves by this kind of thinking. But if you practice it and you research this, it's been proven again and again and again. Be grateful for what you do have. Be grateful for everything. You know, we wake up and we're breathing. That's a reason to be grateful. So one of the greatest gifts that I have ever gotten is reading about being grateful and really practicing that as a practice,
right.
Really waking up and thinking about the things that you're grateful for. You woke up, that's one. You know, you're breathing, that's two. You're able to walk to the bathroom instead of being wheeled or having your diaper changed, that's three. Jumping in a shower, you know, with hot water, that's four.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully things are going. But, you know, and then when life is handing you a bag of caca, you know, to try to think of the things that you are grateful for. You have friends, Jack. You know, I'm your friend. Jack and I go back to grade school. In fact, Jack, I have to tell you that I always think of you as little Jackie. I'm sorry, Jackie Rowan. For some reason, Jackie. Did we call you Jackie when we were growing up?
Well, you know, it's funny because my cousins still call me Jackie. And you know what it is? I was the youngest of three, and I was the youngest of all my cousins on both sides of the family. So, you know, it's pretty weird when I go out for a drink or something with my cousin. You know, I mean, I'm 61. He's about 66. He's calling me Jackie at the bar.
That's the way I think of you is Jackie, definitely. So if I can slip into Jack mode, you'll know what I'm talking about. But also, letting go of the outcome of this lawsuit is going to serve you, and I'm not saying it's easy, but to take deep breaths to realize that it's going to be what it's going to be. And you holding on to a certain way, I get that you've got some investment. You've got some money tied to this, that type of thing. But when you let go, it feels to me as if you can call it God, you can call it the universe, you can call it many things, you know, creative intelligence, but it leads you to the right thing. Like, let go even of this lawyer saying, after he sees the pictures. You know, let go of it because when you force the outcome, when you try to force, you know, you got hooked up. We actually texted back and forth, an email back and forth. When you picked that other lawyer and was holding on to the outcome with that lawyer, he was a crappy lawyer. I'm telling you, I'm married to one.
He was horrible. What was interesting?
So
what was most interesting? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But the universe is you know, directed you, yet it closed that door. You no longer have that lawyer. So you've got to, you know, look with wonder. Remember when we were kids? I remember you as being a wonderful, young, full of wonder young boy. I mean, I can see your smile to this day. And you think of it as opening another door. What's inside this door for me? What's inside this door for me? Tell the universe you expect to open a door every single day, and there's going to be an amazing surprise. But don't try to control the doors, Jack. Don't try to control which door is going to open to you. And it can come in the most unexpected ways. Now, I do want to ask Brenda what she's thinking about this, because I know I can hear her wheels turning in her mind.
Hi, Jack. And well, I'll just say real quickly that our other friend Nina, who's in the chat room, she's sending you out some Reiki, which well, that'll be doing some real energy shifts for you in your life. Trust me. But Jack, this is one of the analogies that I'm going to use for people who just find it so difficult to let go. Let's all look back to Tarzan, the show, and Tarzan would have these big giant tree, you know, vines, and he'd swing out, and if he didn't let go, he wouldn't even be able to reach the other vine. And so all he's going to do is swing back and hit the other the tree he started out in. You don't get anywhere by not letting go. You stay totally stuck or battered back at the same old tree. And it's like you're doing that and wondering why you're not getting down the road. The other thing with your saying you were thinking of yourself as, you know, narcissistic or whatever. I mean, if you have any narcissistic tendencies, I don't know. But I will say this, when things don't work out and, you know, we start looking, turning in towards ourselves like we're the big problem, maybe it would be better to just start looking at, okay, I was doing this because I actually felt like I was under attack, or I felt like I was in a really unsafe situation. And here was my first knee-jerk reaction. It may not have been the best one at the moment, but it was my survival instincts. Right. And once you sort of feel safe, or at least to the point where you feel like you're not going to be completely battered to smithereens, that's when you start, like you have done, which I applaud, you start thinking, maybe I should just give up the ghost and allow yourself to make it to the next tree. And pretty soon, you might find out you are no longer in the forest, and you're out in the open, or you're out in some great, wonderful meadow or space, because there's not just you in your life. There is the universe, which has a lot more knowledge about your future and your standing than you do. So go ahead and trust that big umbrella that's holding you and actually brought you into this being anyway.
Mm.
And see what happens. I think you're going to see a lot of magic in the next few weeks.
You think what? I'm sorry.
I think you're going to see a lot of magic in your life in the next few weeks.
I really need it. I'm at the bottom of the barrel.
Accept it. I'm just needing it. Accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole thing on feeling worthy to accept it. You know, I wrestle with this. We were raised Catholic and really got the whole message that, you know, we weren't really worthy of God's love or God's, you know, approval. We had to work for it.
We were taught a fearful God, I think.
We were taught a fearful God, and I reject that because, you know, we also remember when we were learning catechism, you know, we were taught that I remember it to this day. It was ingrained because I had to memorize it, but the question was, what is God? And our response was, God is all merciful and forgiving. So my reasoning, even in second grade, right before our first Holy Communion, was if God is all merciful and forgiving, then where does this punishing God come in? Because in my mind, they should have said God is only a little bit merciful and forgiving if you grovel a lot. And that's what they kind of taught us. Here they taught us to memorize this one thing, but what they were really teaching us was, you know, we were born with sin, and if you didn't get baptized before you died, you were going to go to hell. Could you imagine an all-merciful and forgiving God sending a baby to hell or purgatory or limbo or any of that whole hockey? You know, I learned really quickly that they were feeding us a whole line, and I believe that to this day. If you are getting
you were able to discern all this stuff at that young age by second grade when we had our first communion.
Oh yes, oh yes. Because
really?
I asked them. Remember when Monsignor would come in once a month right before first communion, and we could ask him questions. I remember all this stuff. It's like ingrained in my memory banks. Anyway, I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I do remember what happened in second grade. And in second grade, the Monsignor came in, and I asked him, I said, are my friends, is my best friend, Daphna Baskin, who was Orthodox Jewish, going to heaven or hell? And he said without even blinking, no, her and her whole family are going to hell. And Jackie, I went to the bathroom. Remember, we had recess right after religion, and I had time to go to the bathroom, and I was in the bathroom, and I got a message loud and clear. There's more to life than heaven or hell. They're not telling me the truth, and that's basically when I started more. I also went through a very holy period where I really had a request of God, and that's basically what when I really rejected and started on my spiritual journey. I was always very spiritual. I've always known that God, I believed in God, and what I've learned is that God isn't outside of us. We don't need a priest to talk to him for us. God is within us, and God is within everyone, the saint and the sinner, and never leave, ever. You know, I've got
another caller.
Okay. You have another caller from Chicago, too.
From Chicago
Jackie,
area.
You can stay on the line. Love you, Jackie. And you know what? I'm going to send lots of love your way, and we'll email, okay?
Yeah. I'm actually in my car right now. I'm not on the computer right now, but I will be checking in tomorrow on my computer and on the internet and stuff. God bless you both.
Well,
thank you very much. And you're on something big with this radio show, I think.
Well, thank you. Let's see who's this 773. Let's see who's seven. This is another 773, number 677. Do you want to talk, or are you just listening?
Lydia?
Yes.
Yeah,
who's this?
Jeff Dick.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Long time no here. Well, kind of.
I know. Are you back in Chicago area, or you just still have the cell phone?
No, I still got the number I've had for years, but I'm in Tennessee. But I'm maybe moving back up that way.
Have you been able to hear the show?
Some of it. In fact, I intended to get on earlier today, and I got blasted calls it right about up until just a half hour ago. So I was trying to catch it at the beginning, but I've heard parts of it. Yeah, I like
good.
It. Very nice.
Did you hear about Let Go? I know you've had your trials with letting go a lot lately.
Oh, boy. I caught part of that about letting go, and that's huge, you know. And I think a lot of that has to do with since we're all connected anyway, and connected to the big one upstairs, whatever people want to call them. Putting it out there to asking for the stuff to come up that you're not, that you've buried, you know. And when it comes up, to look at it, really look at it, and then release it. It's not that hard. It's that easy. I mean, people think they got to do this and go talk to someone and do that. And it's not that hard. So it's painful sometimes. I mean, stuff that I had buried that I had completely thought I'd forgotten about. I mean, it's always in there until you let it go, you know.
Right.
Layered underneath 20 other things that maybe are easier to look at or that come to mind. But one of the things I pray for is to bring it all up, all of it, and so that I can release it. It's really important because you can do it. I mean, that's the beauty of it. You don't have
it
to.
It truly is. And you bring up a very important part. And that is, you know, that everything is inside of us. Like the feelings of unworthiness that I got from being raised a Catholic, that was within me, but I have released it. I remembered it and released it. And it's just like a great sage on the bicycle path said to my friend after my friend got hit and fell off her bicycle and was pretty banged up. A guy came up and he was kind enough. The guy who hit her didn't stop, but this guy came along and he's like, and she had bloody knees and a bloody hand, and he's like, wow, bummer, dude, acknowledge it and move on, you know. And that's it. You have to acknowledge, you know, maybe the things we've done in our lives or the beliefs we've had, and we have to let them go.
Well, I was an elder in a religion for 21 years, so you talk about letting go, you know. I've been no part of it for a long time now, but, I know exactly what you're saying. You don't need to, I perform a service, and I don't regret it because I did get a lot out of giving and helping other people. But I'm still doing that, and I don't have to be attached to an organization, say.
Exactly. You know, that's something I didn't get a chance to tell Jack. Do you know Jack Rowan from the Chicago area?
Jack Wellen, did he say?
No, Rowan. R-O-H-A-N. Anyway, I grew up with him. You guys probably saw each other or maybe kind of, you know, peripherally passed in the night. But Jack is going through a real hard time right now. And my heart goes out to him. I know that that's, you know, well, it's hard. It's hard to go through hard times. Boy, am I, you know, I'm really hitting some prolific, wonderful things. And you know, when we're going through the hard times, it is an opportunity for us to just surrender and to let go to what the good things are. And one thing that you brought up that I didn't have a chance to say, and that is a time to be of service in whatever way you can. If you're looking for ways you can serve, and it can be as simple as acknowledging the panhandler on the street, looking in his, her eyes, smiling. Maybe you have no money to give them, but still acknowledging that they are a human being on this planet. And like you said, we are all connected, because so many times we avert our eyes to people that are hurting. But if I've found in my life, if I smile and give a helping hand in any way that I can, and sometimes, like I said, it's just that smile. There is a corner that I go through frequently in Boulder and has different homeless people. And, you know, sometimes I give them an energy bar that I might have in the car or a bottle of water. Or sometimes I just shake my head like, yes, I see you, or namaste. It means so much to them. Their smile brightens, and that's how we all can be of service. You can always serve up. You know, in fact, Jeff, I want to acknowledge you. You know, Jeff is a musician, and I know that is a very high calling. That's an artist. and being another artist, not in the musical vein particularly, but being
a
visual.
Great stuff. You're pottering? Are you kidding? You're awesome.
Well,
can
and
I
so are you. And yes, please
can
do,
I say
Brenda.
Something?
Yes.
Well, what I'm picking up from Jeff is that Jeff has been doing service for a long time, and that's like his sort of mantra of his heart. I don't really know you. I don't know you, but I'm reading you, and I
mm-hmm.
will say this, that service to others is big, and I get that the shift talks about that, but one of the things that I get off of Jeff is he hasn't given enough service to himself. And it might be one of the reasons that you've shifted sort of because it's probably that time for you to do that, to start shifting towards your needs. And
yeah,
I don't mean like selfish,
on.
Like.
No, I gave away the store. And I'll give you an example. I gave a guitar lesson just the other day, the first time the guy came in. And what would take 5 to 7 lessons, a lot of guitar teachers would stretch out. I gave him one lesson, almost over amped him. I said, I don't want to give you too much because, you know.
Yeah.
But I gave him, I could have made 7 lessons out of it. And, he forced money in my hand. I didn't want to take it. I just said, hey, man, you got your heart in this? Go for it. And then he calls me 2 days later and wants to give me double the amount. I said, no. You gave me plenty. And it was plenty. And so I, learned that balance between, giving away the store, let's say, and being selfish. There's a balance there. And, I had to learn how to say no, if that makes sense.
Do you?
Well,
do you really need to learn to say no, or do you need to learn to accept your blessings?
Well, both. I mean, sometimes the blessings is saying no to the wrong
people.
See,
you're totally talking from the point of view of what I'm trying to tell you. It sounds to me like you might have been more depleted than you know. And I really believe that the universe is trying to answer that depletion in you. And I don't know where the judgment comes in from you about yourself, but you're already a humble being, okay? You already are that. That's your nature.
Well, I've learned that humility, you can't have love without humility. There's no way to do it. Now
I think you can have love no matter what because love stands on its own. That's my belief. But when it comes to people not understanding just who they are, their real true worth and self, very often they shift things off to all these other sort of ways to show that they're humble and that they are trying to be of service, whatever. And I say just get in touch with your own heart and your own spirit. And if you're going to give to others, then you need to understand you're part of the others. We are all part of the whole. Therefore, we must give to ourselves as much as to others. We must be just as kind and as loving to ourselves as we are to others. If we can't do that.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You pull a piece out and it doesn't look right. Yeah.
Yes, but also, Jeff, I want to tell you one thing, and that is, when you refused the money, now, if someone is homeless and they're giving you their last dime, I would refuse that. But
let me back that up for a minute. He did pay me. And
I know,
he wanted to pay me more. He got
more.
So much out of the lesson. Well, first of all, I'm in Tennessee right now, even though I got an Illinois number. They charge roughly a quarter of what I was charging up north. And I just told guy that, but I wasn't expecting Illinois money, okay? But he gave me more than that the first hit on the way out. I said, no, man, you know, let's just keep it like it is down here and take a few hours. And it wasn't that I wasn't worth it. It was that that's what the going rate is, okay? So,
okay, but I want you to listen to me.
Okay.
I want you to listen for 1 second. Listen to what I'm saying. When someone has the need to give you more, and like I said, unless it's a homeless person and it's his last dime, but if you are giving a service and you've set aside an amount, and even though he pays you more, if he calls you up and wants to give you even more, by you denying him, you have denied that cycle of giving and receiving. You gave to him. Now you need to receive from him. And that's the part Brenda was seeing of loving yourself enough to go, whoa, the universe, it's not this guy. And money is not, it's not,
right.
It's energy. It's energy.
Means of exchange.
Apparently,
I get that.
Hold on. Just a second. I love you both, but listen, it's not about all this equating of a level of, you know, bartering or trading, whatever, not. Even with the man who's homeless, if he hands you a dime, he's not giving you his last 10 cents. He's giving you his heart and
his
spirit. I say stop trying to block other people's blessings. You don't know what that blessing of what they're doing means to that person. And we're not to judge one way or another how much they have, what their finances are, what they're dressed like, who they're connected with. That's when we're getting into man-made thought processes that have nothing to do with the spirit. If you're operating from the point of a spiritual being in a meat suit, then let the spirit flow.
Listen, sweetie.
How even though we may make judgments about homeless person or someone living on the street or whether they have this amount of money or whatever, those are judgments, and they have nothing to do with the love and the spirit flowing. Let it go. Stop trying to control everything, because everything you're both saying right now is about control.
Okay.
I mean, and you're making judgments.
No,
so
I want,
if somebody hands me 10 cents and they're on the street, I'm blessing
them.
See, I will take what they give me and give it to someone else or pay it forward or do something with it. But
take a deep breath. I'm hearing everything you're saying. Now just take a breath for a second. Do you remember Paul Harvey?
Yes.
On TV years and years ago. I don't know how old he is, but he had something, and here's the rest of the story. He always had at the end of the show, remember that? Okay. Well, you didn't hear the rest of the story, or you could have saved a lot of words. I got him to come back by not taking the money, extra money he was trying to force on me. What I want him to do is continue taking lessons. I mean, I gave him so much that I almost overwhelmed him because, like I said, I gave him several weeks' worth in one lesson. I want him to digest that, but I want him to come back because I know he's going to have to in order to put it together and go to the next phase, okay? So that money that I didn't take, after he'd already given me way more than enough, which I agree with you on that, and that's why I took it, you know, is also bringing him back. I don't want him to feel that he's overwhelmed and he won't come back. He has to assimilate what I gave him, come back, and then we connect the dots of what I showed him, because I showed him way more than what they could have done in one lesson, and it was several weeks worth, you know. But it was pieces of it, so he could get an idea of what the guitar really is, what it looks like a piano if you set it down on its side. It's almost like a piano. And I got him to understand the machine first. And I didn't take the other money. So I didn't say the whole thing. That's why I'm just trying to tell you he's coming back as a result of that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want you, I'm going to actually put you on mute because we are out of time. But the one thing that I want to say is I actually stand corrected. Brenda, thank you for doing that for me about taking the dime from the homeless person. You are absolutely correct. And that was even in the movie. So I'm sorry. I went to another place, but yet I know Jeff's heart, and Jeff is a very giving person. But I hope that what he hears is how he does need to give more to himself in whatever way, in, by allowing the energy flow, the love into for him, because I know that he is. We're all deserving. Do you have something to say? And we'll wrap it up about Jeff, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Well, just that I think that most of us don't really see when we're more invested in control. And some of the things we need to look at is the way that our words come out of our mouth. When we talk from the point of what I want, then that has to do with yourself. When you talk about what I hope for others, that's, again, what you're hoping for them. Expectations have nothing to do with our lives in any positive way other than to hope the best for someone in the way that they see it. It's not about the way we see it. So whatever it is that you think you're doing for other people, make sure you're doing it to yourself, because if you're not willing to do it for yourself, then I have to wonder what you're really giving to others. That's something for us all to think about and continue to grow with. But
well,
always the love, staying always with the love, and like your show is all about, it's time to love, and love is always free.
You got that right. And, you know, folks, I'm going to leave you all with my love, and I want to thank Brenda. I want to thank Jack. I want to thank Jeff for calling in. Nina is holding down the chat room. I hope there's something going on there. I can't see it. But I love you all, and I'm hoping that maybe our words today will leave you with knowing that if you're faced with a letting go process, that it may be that the door is closing. But have a degree of curiosity and expectation that a door is going to open that is absolutely the perfect door, the magical door that's going to give you your heart's desire. And part of this is being in service to everyone else. So, but be of service to yourself. Give to yourself. Love yourself. And with that, I'm going to end the show with one of my favorite songs. Thanks, Brenda. Thanks, Nina.
Okay.
I love you, ladies. Namaste.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Can get it on this one. I do have a song. Honest to God, I do. Let's see here. It's not letting me get this one. Let's try this one. There we go. That's a wrap.